to another dimension. A dimension of insight. A dimension of understanding. You are entering a place where reality collides with truth. There are no limits. There are no boundaries. This is Light Planet Radio.
This is Light Planet Radio. I'm Randy Moggins, and with me is Chris Holland. Hello, Chris.
Hello. How's everyone tonight? I hope they're doing well.
And we decided that we were going to get together, and we had some ground to cover. You obviously still are writing blog posts, and so you're putting information out that is kind of time-coded, as a matter of fact. All of this stuff is right now. As I pointed out in the last show, and I pointed out to some people on Facebook, we're in the Ides of March. And I always find it so interesting that certain times of the year, we go seasonal and we have these strange seasons, like Halloween's kind of a time for spooky stuff. And that's not without precedent, because the shift in the seasons kind of brings in this weird vibration of spookiness. And then we go through the death of winter and the rebirth of spring, and we have the Ides of March, which has always been a very ominous time. And so Chris and I have a number of things we wanted to kind of push out tonight. But Chris, a lot of people are talking about this. This is the story right now that's front and center. It is one of the top searches on Google and Yahoo search engines right now. And it's Malaysia Airlines Flight 370, which this whole epoch began on the March 8th. When a Malaysian Airlines flight departed from Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, to a destination in Beijing, China. And somewhere along the line, the Boeing 777 jet disappeared. And a lot of people are talking about this because nobody knows what to think. I've got a whole trove of articles. And air traffic controllers, aviation officials, military, intelligence services, the governments of pretty much every nation on the Pacific Rim, as well as the United States and the EU, are all trying to figure out what happened to Flight 370. So,
well,
go ahead.
Without question, Randy, I've been following this every day also. This has to be, as they uncover one fact or one bit of information after, you know, the next bit of information, one of the biggest mysteries of our time. This, to me, is incredible that, you know, 200-plus people and this huge airliner not only just disappeared but was flying around for, what, 6 extra hours?
Yeah.
And we can't figure out where, what, how. It's really, really mysterious. What is your thinking?
I looked at a lot of the data, and I don't have the capacity to assess data from the standpoint of an air traffic controller or an aviation expert, and boy, it'd be nice to find somebody who could do that for us. But what's pretty clear is at this point, they're so baffled. It appears as though the communication systems were shut down. That would be a process that could only be initiated by the pilot, although it's been pointed out on the internet that the documents probably are publicly available enough that somebody could do it, but it's a very deliberate action. The next part of it is the shutdown of the ACAR system, which is the beacons that are used to track aircraft via satellite, basically triangulating data points between different satellites in order to maintain surveillance over the skies. These are fairly busy skies over Malaysia, Kuala Lumpur. This is the hub of the Pacific Rim between that particular area, these archipelagos, and China, mainland China. There's apparently something that has happened that was very deliberate, very premeditated in terms of shutting down these systems, because you don't simply shut down the ACAR system on an aircraft unless you go into a subpanel on the jet. This is not something that even a pilot would do. There is also the fact that there is a beacon that would have been deployed at the time that the aircraft hit water that would have essentially floated up and continued to transmitting. That never deployed. and the fact that the communications from the aircraft don't triangulate with the position of the aircraft at the time it was last sighted. So, of course, everybody is desperately searching for answers right now, and I watch very carefully the articles that come out, the mainstream news as well as the alternative news. I did notice that our friends Ron Strickler over at Phantom and Monsters, Ron's a remote viewer, and he's had a group of four remote viewers and a moderator who have sat down and attempted to remote view the Malaysia flight. And their data, which I'll put a link up with this show, appears over at phantomsandmonsters.com. But they're basically saying that the viewers were seeing a position that was far more west than any of the data would have indicated. That's their information. And then another well-known and well-regarded remote viewer named Gerald O'Donnell has basically come out and said that the plane was dematerialized, that the plane basically was on a course that would have triggered events that would have probably been catastrophic. You know, use your imagination here. He didn't release a lot of details, but he said that the plane was basically dematerialized. So we have fascinating theories and ideas all over the place on this, but this is one of the great mysteries of our modern times.
The only thing I can come up with is a feeling of it's so scattered, the possibilities are so scattered that you can't compile it to any kind of logical, you know, sum of events. Now, the fact, Randy, that everything was turned off, and as you said, there's very little doubt in my mind that the pilot would want to go about doing this, unless, of course, it was his idea to take the plane, which I also find that a bit doubtful, but I might be completely wrong. But the only thing that seems to be solid is that this plane was taken over by someone or something that knew exactly what to do in order to take the plane. My only problem is who or what would have that ability, and what did they do with the actual craft and all those people? I just don't know if I think that they landed the plane and are keeping all these people hostage, or that it crashed and we're just so inept we can't find it, or all the other scenarios that are being listed. This, to me, is just the strangest scenario of anything I've heard recently on a worldwide level, where the whole world knows this has happened and are helping, looking, and trying to figure it out, and cannot. So I don't know what to make of it. I get up every morning, and sometimes if I get up in the middle of the night, I will put on the television to see if they found anything new about this disaster. And I just, as I said, my thoughts are scattered. I don't know what I feel is going on with this thing.
Well, one possible thing that I'll just put out there is I don't think this falls within the realm of the normal, but we deal with the paranormal. So far, like I said, almost anything that you would logically ascribe to this event doesn't add up, and every time they get a data point, it skews the normal way that things would work. For people out there who have seen the TV series that ran from 2004 to 2010, the J.J. Abrams series Lost, I'd say go take a look at that series, because in a lot of ways, to me, this appears to be something almost extra-dimensional. It's like a big Bermuda Triangle vortex has opened up, and this plane has somehow dropped into another dimension somewhere.
It's as good of answer at this, you know, point in time as any other. Or something had the ability to take them and or lead them and take over control of their craft. And we were able to, you know, follow it for the 6,000 miles in whatever direction it went, until it then entered or left or was completely taken by whatever, you know, caused this. The only other answer is that it was, you know, landed somewhere, but I think the areas available to it in the search area, meaning if it was a sweep of the 6,000 miles, a lot of it was out into the water, so could not land there. And the portion of it that could land over a land, it would be impossible, like, not to find it, that it would need so much area to land and had enough equipment on it where they would be able to somehow hone in on it, and that's not the case. So I as I say, anything is possible, any scenario at this point.
Yeah. Well, we'll keep monitoring the story, and I'm looking for people, specifically people who either have aviation background that could comment on this, or the remote viewers out there that have taken a look at this as well. An alternative reality right now is as good as the real reality in terms of assessing exactly what it is that's happened in this very strange situation with this lost Malaysian aircraft. Chris has written an article online that kind of spells out, I guess, what is the current state of ufology, and it has to do with disclosure and the people who we think are probably the gatekeepers for the UFO movement. Before we do that, I've been doing some research for a while now. I'm very interested in pop culture, and I grew up in the late 60s and early 70s at a time when the so-called rock culture was raging. And anybody that's paid attention knows that there's always been an element of the supernatural and the paranormal in popular entertainment. You look at the history of Hollywood, and it sits on the edges a lot of times, but it's there. Now it's full-blown. Television shows, movies, entertainment in general has gone completely off scale in terms of the handling and dealing with the otherwise fringe topics like UFOs and aliens and alien abduction and contact. And so as I was going through news stories the last few months, I've accumulated a fair amount of them, and I'm calling this Pop Culture Meets the UFO. I'm going to lead off with a news story that was posted on November 19th, 2013. This is from PhoenixNewTimes.com, and it says, this is a Canadian rock group called the Baynard Lakes, and they've come out with an album. The album's title is Until in Excess, Imperceptible UFO. The title of the album actually comes from a mangled foreign language Google search that the band did, and they thought it was amusing. In an interview with Phoenix New Times, the band is talking about the origin of the title and asked if it connects with an actual event. And so the lead singer of the band is asked if he's ever seen a UFO, and he says, no, I haven't, but Kevin Lang, our drummer, saw a UFO. It's weird. Every time we make a record like we did with Dark Horse, there was a bunch of weird bleep coming out right before the record is released. And he recounts a number of synchronicity events, but he says it was in a month before this album, Until in Excess, Imperceptible UFO came out. The drummer of the band, Kevin Lang, was standing on his terrace when he saw three glowing orbs in the sky. He didn't want to tell anybody because he figured people would just think it was a marketing ploy for the album. So they managed to track down other people in Montreal who saw them too. And so this band has tied in a synchronistic event with the release of this album. This interview has actually shown up in a number of places, including on Facebook and Twitter as well. So that's the Canadian band, the Baynard Lakes, and their drummer's sighting of a UFO over Montreal. A newer interview shows up on March 12, 2014. This is an interview in a pop blog called PopMatters.com with Brandon Boyd, who's the lead singer of the American band Incubus. And in questioning for the interview, in framing the question, Wish You Were Here, which is a song from Incubus' 2001 Morning View album, remains the only hit song of the 21st century that mentions UFOs. Have you had any UFO sightings you care to talk about? Brandon Boyd responds. He says, quote, I've had many of what you call UFO experiences since I was a young lad, as a matter of fact. There are too many to mention here, to be honest, but you and I should sit down and exchange some stories sometime. Maybe in front of a gentle bonfire with creepy theremin music playing in the background. He goes on to say, have you ever pondered the notion of an infinite universe, and that perhaps our ideas of what we call life and sentience have all been based on our own egoic human experience? When we allow for even the slightest adjustment of our lens and let go temporarily of the vast anthropomorphization that we employ when thinking about life outside of Earth, you're left with nothing but possibilities as to the abundance of consciousness. I'm of the mind that Earth has been visited by non-Earthlings for longer than we've been here and will likely do so long after we leave. When you start to see that everything existed and will exist as merely varying manifestations of consciousness, it opens up a literal universe of possibilities. But if you allow one moment of species conceit, I am of the mind that human beings are particularly special and that other races find us fascinating. So that's Brandon Boyd of the California rock band Incubus, and he kind of is veiled there, but he says he's had a lot of UFO experiences. The other article I found is from October 2013, and it's from a band in the UK named Basement Jacks. And it says, as UFO visions go, Felix Buxton's wasn't particularly extravagant. I didn't see aliens waving at me. It was in the middle of the afternoon last April. I was having a cup of tea with the singer, and we were chatting outside the window where there was this thing hovering over London. The nearest thing it looked like was a flying saucer. It was the start of a new obsession. He began to spend hours on the internet researching conspiracy theories, UFOs, alien life, and he spoke at Oxford Union about his sighting, and flying saucers began to loom over their forthcoming album. So these are three examples of modern rock musicians who have experienced UFOs and are also reflecting it in their music. The history behind this is pretty interesting as well, and probably one of the most famous sightings, of course, it's been referenced a number of times, is the August 23rd, 1974 sighting by John Lennon and his secretary May Pang over Manhattan. And that was recounted as in a story that was written about in May Pang's memoirs of John Lennon, where she wrote, quote, the large circular object was coming towards us. It was shaped like a flattened cone, and on top was a large, brilliant red light. When it came a little closer, we could make out a row or circle of white lights that ran against the entire rim of the craft. In an article that followed up on this, written by a paranormal writer and also a friend of May Pang, Larry Warren, he was in an apartment with May Pang when she was cleaning out boxes of memorabilia from John Lennon, and he recounts the story that he found numerous copies of the British UFO journal Flying Saucer Review, and that they were all addressed to John Lennon. He says he was surprised because he thought the 1974 sighting was John's first introduction to the world of UFOs. But the Flying Saucer Reviews dated back to the late 60s. So he asked May Pang if John had ever had an earlier sighting he might have mentioned. As she carefully folded the black velvet suit he had worn on stage with Elton John in November 1974 at Madison Square Garden, May Pang replied, oh no, 74 wasn't John's first sighting. In fact, he told me that more than once he suspected he had been abducted as a child back in Liverpool. And he felt that the experiences were responsible for making him feel different from other people for the rest of his life. Abducted? You mean by aliens? May Pang answered, yes, but John didn't go into detail about it. The writer goes on to say he was stunned, but that was another story. Finally, in the backstory of this whole pop culture alien thing is Jimi Hendrix, and recounted by his brother, who has written a book, and this is from Classic Rock magazine, that Jimi Hendrix became fascinated by aliens at an early age, his brother has revealed in a recent book. The guitar icon is said to have been convinced UFOs exist and beings from other planets walk among us. His theories were embedded in some of the music he wrote. Leon Hendrix explains that these ideas developed while Jimi Hendrix was very young. One of Hendrix's key alien-inspired moments appears in the track Third Stone from the Sun from his Are You Experienced album. It includes two voices discussing a space flight to Earth, which can only be made out if the track is played at the old-fashioned 78 RPM vinyl setting. Leon Hendrix says, you know ancient aliens? They should read some of Jimmy's lyrics if they want real proof of intervention. He used to tell me these stories when I was a kid, and he shares his brother's conviction that they're real. I saw a UFO myself. Some people have expressed the idea that Jimi Hendrix was a walk-in. He seemed to have a great deal of interest in extraterrestrials. He also had a life that was very strange. One of the quotes that's attributed to him, he states his feelings about life on other planets. There are other people in the solar system, you know, and they have the same feelings, too. Not necessarily bad feelings, but see, it upsets their way of living, for instance, and they are a whole lot heavier than we are. He says, and it's no war games because they all keep the same place, but like the solar system is going through a change soon, and it's going to affect the Earth in about 30 years. Jimi Hendrix died in 1970. 30 years later would have been around the year 2000, so I would say that Jimi Hendrix is way ahead of his time. Pop culture meets the UFO. I'm sure there's a whole lot more out there, and we'll come back to that again. Chris, I'd like to take it over to you because I know you have some important things you want to talk about as well, specifically regards UFO disclosure.
Well, first of all, let me say I found that segment fascinating. And I'm really happy to hear that these creative people not only openly are discussing this, but are doing so without fear. They are putting out what they saw without too much, you know, worry that they are going to be humiliated or ridiculed or whatever. And it is people like that that will at last finally drag us ahead in knowing what's going on with all these subjects. So, you know, I was just thrilled to hear that segment, Randy. It's very interesting. And John Lennon being an abductee, I don't know what to think of that. It would explain possibly why his life was so very different than the rest of ours. But I can only sit and wonder how many other people will listen to what you say and read what I say and know that they are part of this as well. So it's, as I said, very interesting to me. I've gotten to the point where ufology, and I'll say just in society, in North America, in my opinion, has gotten ridiculous. It is so diluted and convoluted and discombobulated from where it should be that I really am having difficulty, you know, sitting and spending hours trying to decipher the information that is sent to me and present it in a way that people can take from it some at least truth or information that could help them. We live in a society now where we have completely mixed truth and the unknown, strictly the unknown, things we are yet to understand, with science fiction and entertainment. So that there's no way to, like, pull it apart. We have taken the extreme with the TV, with television, and produced such a flood of paranormal shows on all subjects we don't understand that the people sit and watch it in the exact same way they would a Star Wars movie. And this has done nothing for any of us except confuse us and convince us that these things really don't exist. We really don't have to fear them. We don't have to think we're ever going to have to deal with it personally. And we sit back with our popcorn and soda and enjoy the next show. I find this a very dangerous thing for society to do because UFOs are real. Abductions do take place. People are harmed. Not all encounters with unidentified crafts are good. Many of them are harmful and dangerous and frightening. But that is not how we perceive it or understand it or are set up to deal with it. And I just think it's a tremendous mistake on the part of society. Now, as far as disclosure goes, I wrote my article because I find it, like, in my mind, hilarious at this point that there are still people out there writing and making their way on the tail of hoping for or pressing for disclosure from, I guess, the government. My opinion to everyone that fits that bill is don't hold your breath, because it's not going to happen. First of all, the government is not who has the upper hand in our relationship with any type of alien being or other life forces out there, be it dimensional or cosmic. Those that visit us have the upper hand. They are more advanced than we are. That's how come they visit us and we don't visit them. I mean, that should be obvious to everyone. They have the technology, the advancement. They're probably much older and even have a different way of thinking than we do on all of this visitation. To think that the government would be able to come out and just say whatever they wanted or admit what they know is not thinking soundly. Because if the other life form did not want us to do this, they could slap us down, shut us down, remove all our weapons, close down our electrical grid, plus just destroy us without even landing. They could do it from space. That's the kind of technology they have in order to visit us. So, you know, to think that we, the governments of the world, have any say in this is not correct thinking, because we don't. The second thing is, we have been given disclosure over a very long time period, but refuse to accept it. Now, this again, I'm going to focus on North America, because it is not this way over the entire planet, but it seems to be this way on the north, in North America. We just refuse to listen what we are being fed that is truthful little by little. And that is the way disclosure has been tried out on our society, and it's not working. We have been fed small pieces of information from people that we should without question believe. Our astronauts, our military pilots, high-ranking military officials, people in NASA, certain different scientists, all of them have tried to tell us gently, yes, these life forms are here. Many of them have said, I have seen them. I have dealt with them. That should be enough for us. It isn't. We just refuse to accept this. This came to an ultimate high in my mind when on Easter Eve, March 31st, late at night, it was around 1, I guess, a.m. in the morning, Easter Eve night, you know, going into the morning, coast to coast, George Knapp. It was George Knapp. Oh, I have to change that in my article. Interviewed Robert Bigelow about his connection with our space program. First of all, I would say most people in ufology or people who think that they have a keen interest in it and have a lot of knowledge about it don't know who Robert Bigelow is. And that there is their number one mistake, because Robert Bigelow is the man who has been handed over probably almost, if not 90%, 100%, our space exploration projects, and is controlling force along with the companies he either also owns or works with, the building and exploration of our space station, a base on Mars, on the moon, and overall exploration into space. The man has been building his own space station. That's an enormous event that's taking place. However, society doesn't understand. He is doing this because the United States of America picked him, gave him our tax dollars, and handed over the space program to him. This is not just some guy that put in a bid and won it over to go explore space for us. Excuse me, to drink tea. I'm really losing my voice today. This man was picked out of all the other private companies that wanted to take us into space and given our tax dollars, which I would imagine, I would think you would agree with me, Randy, it would be billions of dollars if you included the black ops and everything that is needed to take us into space. And he has privatized the space program. Now, this is somebody you should know about. This is someone that you work a few days for every year of your life to help support the tax dollars that are being handed to him to do this. This is someone that's, you know, very important to our standing in the cosmos, yet nobody knows who he is. Now, Robert Bigelow on that radio show was asked flat out by the host, do you believe in UFOs and think there are aliens? And his answer was yes, without question. Of course there are. And then he went about talking about how in Europe they handle things differently, and it's well known there, and how we would just, you know, just have a difficult time accepting it here in North America. But the man who is running our space program came out and disclosed without a hesitation that there are UFOs and aliens, and he is in a mission by way of our tax dollars to go out there and build a space station, beat China to building a base on the moon, and explore the universe with these aliens, of course. So how is it that we are still locked down, closed off to this information, and making believe it doesn't exist while we continue to hammer away waiting for disclosure when it's been handed to us all in a very sneaky fashion, but it's been handed to us by Coast to Coast and Mr. Bigelow on that night? What was amazing to me is, you know, Randy, I contacted you immediately. I was like, we have to watch the news. We have to watch the internet. We have to watch, you know, for the TV. This is an amazing, you know, disclosure of this man. I couldn't wait for the next day to come to see it explode across the internet. I couldn't find anything at all. I wrote an article. I posted it, and I posted it with a YouTube segment from that Coast to Coast show that had been on YouTube. That just about immediately disappeared. However, you, Randy, and I, we did do a show concerning this subject, and that still remains today, and still people are listening to it, but not to the extent that they should. This, you know, you're waiting for something that's already happened. You're living in a fool's paradise. You're making believe, for whatever your own personal reason is, that you have not been given disclosure, and it's still all just entertainment and not something you need to deal with. When in fact, you have been told, it has been disclosed, and it is something you need to be aware of and learn how to deal with it. So basically, that's what I've been writing about and trying desperately to get people to listen to. Because I feel in any situation in life, the more knowledge you have to deal with it, the better off you're going to be with handling it or, in some cases, surviving it. And this has got to be one of those areas.
Well, I think there's so much churning of information now. And part of the problem, as you pointed out, is this diffusion, this blending of science fiction fantasy with what we would call straight-up reporting. Our friend Ken Pfeiffer does a fantastic job at this. Every day I get an email from Ken. I'm sure you probably do too as well, because he's posting daily now UFO sightings that are being documented both by himself privately, other researchers around the globe, as well as what's managing to trickle through MUFON these days. And we appear to have, in some ways, a constant stream of data coming at us, but at the same time, we have gatekeepers and handlers who are massaging it to the general public, which kind of brings me back to the whole MUFON thing, because you and I have talked about this, I think, since we first began talking to each other, the sense that MUFON, at least on the national level, the national organization, is not straight up, that they're not really serving the purpose that we think they are. And that, of course, triangulates back again, of course, to Robert Bigelow, who had invested a rather substantial amount of money into MUFON and in return received the rights to comb through and acquire the database of MUFON regarding people who had abduction experiences.
And that definitely was part of what I was writing about with this article, is Mr. Bigelow did take over MUFON, and the fact that with his expertise and his funds and ability to hire whoever he could, should have developed a really tight, well-functioning UFO reporting agency, and instead went about the business of destroying MUFON, where it just now is a collapsed shell of whatever it may have been at one time. That there is very is very concerning to me, because if Mr. Bigelow is really in control of the alien connection with Earth, because let's face it, it's not just for the United States or all of North America, it's this planet, I would think he would want to be collecting and more every bit of data he can from the public, because he does not know everything that's happening. He does not know the whole of what the aliens are doing to the general public, and he's blocking himself from this knowledge by destroying or making sure that there is not one organized professional UFO reporting agency out there. There are good people that are trying, you know, here and there to do their best with what they're receiving, but it's in no way acceptable in my mind. You need professional people that are trained investigators, not volunteers with no background. And I'm sorry to be mean about this.
No, and no budget either.
You need to have professionals that know how to run a case investigation in a scientific manner, not destroy, you know, data or any type of collection of material that needs to be done in a very careful way. They need to know how to question the people, what to do from that with that information, how to question the air traffic control people in that area, go out into the neighborhood, do things like that just are not done. It's not professional at all. And I know this because I've read a lot of the case investigations, talked to a lot of the investigators that go out and do these investigations, and there's no protocol, there's no training, there's no book of rules how to go about an investigation. That won't do. That keeps us exactly where we are, in total dark ages concerning these things. And it's not working, and it's dangerous. I don't understand, though, Randy, why this is Robert Bigelow's approach to this, why he isn't taking and hiring people, not only that could be trained or are already professionals in this type of work, but also people who have experienced these things, don't give me some man who's never had an encounter or a sighting of anything strange and has no concept of the fear or agony or harm that people have gone through, and send them to investigate someone who has been through that. I'm sorry, that's not acceptable. You just can't do that. Now, my worry is one thing. Either Mr. Bigelow is our saving grace and is protecting us the best he can from possibly things that are so severe and dangerous that he cannot tell us about them, or he is blocking us for his own agenda and keeping us in danger by not making this a professional endeavor and protecting the public by setting up a reporting agency and possibly also places where people who have had bad encounters or dangerous encounters and were harmed can go get help. And none of that's being done. It's kept this entertainment, silly, non-functioning MUFON site, no other reporting sites around, mess. That it worries me. Why? Why are we being kept in the dark? Why are we being kept that controlled? Why are we being kept deaf, dumb, and blind about this issue? Millions of people see these things around the world constantly. Many people have had to deal with these things up front and personal. Why do we act like this? And why do we as society allow this to happen? When it's only a matter of time, my friends, that you may be the next one that is looking into the cold, dead eyes of something unhuman and unknown that wants to interfere with you. So, you know, I don't know what to make of Mr. Bigelow, except that he's not coming forward as a forthright advocate for humanity. He's coming off to me as someone who is thrilled to be handed over billions of dollars to explore the universe in whatever way he sees fit, and really has little care of what's happening to the average citizen out there that is being forced to deal with these invasive objects and beings.
Well, as always, you know, you do have to follow the money, unfortunately, and as cynically as that sounds, Mr. Bigelow has, he's developed contacts inside the government at a very high level to be able to do what he's doing with Bigelow Airspace and develop programs to go into space. And so, however philanthropic it may seem, it looks like there's a price for dealing with Robert Bigelow. Like I said, when he funded MUFON, and I'm talking here again about MUFON at the national level, not at the state level. It's important to make some distinctions on that, because state level investigators, some, not all, have a lot of integrity, are very well equipped to do their job. Unfortunately, as Chris and I have gone over endlessly, MUFON itself, as a national umbrella organization, is a complete failure. The lack of any ability to organize data into a meaningful manner, to even put out email letters to their members. I was a MUFON member. I quit MUFON because I was wasting my money. They can't even send out a newsletter. They're pathetic. So my sense is that this is all gatekeeper mentality, that what they're really protecting us from is the full scope of the truth, and the truth is that our government went into lockdown mode in 1947 after World War II, that the National Security Act has every bit as much to do with UFOs and alien visitation as it does national security states. So we're looking at a long-term situation where the American public has been kept in the dark and basically fed BS in order to prevent what would be real disclosure, which is the truth about the government's own interactions with extraterrestrials for the last 60 years.
Without question. And you know, MUFON, is, as I said, it was destroyed by Mr. Bigelow. I think he had the final. I think he spent a tremendous amount of money to destroy it as well. But I just wanted to press one point that why I feel so bad about this. MUFON once was running an article or something on their front page of their site where they were doing an abduction, an abductee, contactee investigation, and they wanted to hear from all these people that, you know, had to deal with these beings up front and personal. And they had a site where you would email in your information. And it coincided with a time where I had gathered, and it took me years to do this, 12 abductees that fit into one type of abduction, which I call real time, meaning the people were average, everyday people going about their business during the day. When they were taken, they were interfered with, they were abducted against their will and taken for an amount of hours and then returned. And during that time, they could not remember what happened to them. They remembered being taken, the beginning of it. They remembered being returned or coming to, usually in a place that they didn't start out, you know, in some strange area. And they were all harmed. They were either sick and vomiting or whatever. But it was the similar, same type of abduction that I was wanting to investigate. And I had 12 of these people together and were interviewing them during the time they were looking for abduction cases. So I wrote a big email and sent it in to the people that were running this abduction contactee part of MUFON and never heard from them. I tried three times to contact them and was totally ignored. In fact, I would say probably blocked from their abduction scenario. So I knew then that it wasn't, you know, up and up, and it wasn't actually an investigation of what was going on out there. And I parted ways. I wanted nothing to do with them because I felt that they did not care that this was happening to these people, and these people were being kidnapped and victimized and harmed. Now, if you did that to any other citizen, went up and guy was putting his garbage out and you took him and you kidnapped him and you abused him and you hurt him and you threw him back and he was sick and he had wounds on his body, the society would be outraged looking for his kidnapper. Here they get ridiculed, laughed at, suggested they don't open their mouth because of the negative outcome of it if they do report it. And they deal with this in silence. Now, that's just not right in our society in 2014, or should it have been for the last 100 years at least. That's terrible. It's a terrible way for us to treat our own kind. So when they ignored me and wanted nothing to do with the people, not only did it, you know, turn me off, it turned off all these people. And it's a shame because in the group were doctors and college professors and some really extremely, you know, believable people that just would not have anything to do with MUFON or Robert Bigelow after that point in time because they felt threatened by the fact that they had their backs, you know, their backs were turned against them by these people. So, It's not a good thing that's going out on out there. And that's my point here for anyone that listens to me. This is not the way to do this. This is keeping you really stupid for a very long time on an issue that could be extremely dangerous. And, you know, fine, if that's the way you want to live, go ahead. But living in denial of these things will not help you if it happens to you or someone you love. And living in a delusion, well, that's not good for any society. So until we can, you know, break apart the pieces here and make fantasy fantasy and fiction fiction and truth of the unknown, simply truth about things we yet do not understand. It's only we do not understand it now. One day we will. It's not the boogeyman. It's not a movie set. It is a real thing that's happening that we just do not understand. So, you know, Randy, you know, what more can we do? We talk to her blue in our face, and it just seems to go on and on and on, and the blog sites with ridiculous scenarios and silly stories and craziness continue, and the real stories are being lost. They I guess are not exciting enough, perhaps. I don't know. But it's frightening to me because I have had to deal with this in my life, and it was terrible. And for 50 years, I've been looking for help, understanding, and a way to stop it. I've gotten to the point where I figured out how to stop it, I think, but I don't know how to stop it for other people. So, you know, I don't know what else to do.
Well, I think that the truth is slowly coming out, and a lot of it does have to do with the fact that we have the ability to now connect as we do on the internet and to be able to do shows and articles and things like that. But make no mistake that just as MUFON and other agencies and groups are controlled externally by naval intelligence, the CIA, and government controllers, so too is the blogosphere and the webosphere in general. And so, unfortunately, at the end of the day, disclosure comes down to taking the information that you're presented, weighing it, looking at your own experiences, and just using a little bit of common sense and insight. The veil is dropping on this, and it's going to happen regardless of how many gatekeepers they put around it. We're in that time when the veil is dropping and disclosure is just occurring on its own.
You're absolutely right. And I want to add something. Now, this is not about what we're talking about, but I didn't want to forget this before we end our show tonight, Randy. I want to go back to what you were talking about in the very beginning, the mysterious disappearance of the airliner. And as we were doing the show, something came to mind to me. As I look out, I have a very big window where I'm sitting now, and I look out over like a little wooded valley. And the sky today looks very odd to me. Mm. It's just a color that's not like natural. I've been alive a long time, and I remember what the sky looked like for the first 45 years of my life, and now it's completely different. But I was thinking, I always blame this on weather manipulation. I think we're almost like in a Cold War type of situation where these heart machines are involved and chemtrailing is involved and our weather is being manipulated. And that to me is quite frightening. I don't know if it's for the good of us or for the bad of us, but or if it's just a war where we are protecting ourselves and need to do certain things against others who may be attacking us with their technology. All of it is possible. It's obvious that something's going on. Knowing this and knowing that these machines exist all over the world and that this manipulation is going on, I had a terrible fear while we were talking that just popped into my head, because it could be one of the first things that is going to happen, and I wouldn't want any others to occur. But what if that poor plane was caught up in a situation where some type of manipulation was going on and something was blown open, as you said, the Lost Island type of scenario, and something was blown open and that plane just flew completely out of this time, this dimension, this universe, by way of our own clumsy handling of technology we probably shouldn't be using. That's a very possible scenario. And if you don't think so, go outside and look at the chemtrailing over your heads constantly and explain that to me. So, you know, this new mystery, I hope they solve it. And I hope for all of us, it was the pilot wanted to go visit his grandmother or something crazy and, you know, landed it in her backyard. Anything. and not the things that we are coming up with.
Well, more and more the exotic begins to look more and more likely than the normal explanations for things, because, like I said, I think the veil's thinning. We are in an interesting time where things are rapidly speeding up. You mentioned the weather and the sky, and yeah, the sky has been very odd of late. The sun, I got up very early this morning, pretty close to sunrise. The sun normally in the mornings at sunrise is somewhat reddish. The sun is no longer red at sunrise either. It is actually phosphorescent white now. Something's going on in our solar system, and something's going on in our universe as well. So everything that we see happening in the Earth realm, in my opinion, is simply a lower level fractal of what's going on out there in the universe right now. I think time speeded up. I think events are shifting very rapidly, and I think human consciousness is going in both directions. Frankly, some people are getting stupider than a bag of hair, and other people are starting to wake up. And Chris, anything else you want to kick in here as we wind this up?
I think that we've covered quite enough for these poor people in this radio program, Randy, don't you?
I do.
I think we handed them a large...
This is Off Planet Radio.